Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is the Idaho Falls. We're going to start by listening to a track from the CD Concrete Prairie. Then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Raymond of the Idaho Falls. How's it going, man?
Not bad. How are you?
Thanks for coming in on this unusually British Los Angeles day. Man, it's pouring out there. It's insane. I couldn't believe I woke up this morning and it was still raining because it was pouring last night. Yeah. I thought it was like a dream or something. Yeah. Anyway, let's get on with it. The Idaho Falls. How much of it is Raymond and his band, and how much of it is this sort of project called the Idaho Falls?
Well, it's always been just a group of musicians that I've really respected and loved who have always just kind of gathered, and I've usually taken care of most of the songwriting, but everyone has really collaborated on this new record. It was kind of hard to figure out which songs to play because off the new record, there's almost nothing I can play by myself because everybody's contributed so much. So it's a band. It's not a solo project with a band behind it.
Did it start sort of just with you and your guitar, and you found people to play with, or was it just?
Definitely. I just wrote a bunch of songs with my friend Heather, and we found a really amazing pedal steel player named Greg Vincent. And it was just kind of decided that it would go in sort of a country pop direction because we had this pretty sick pedal steel player. And whenever Heather and I sang together, it would be sort of country-ish. And the band has just developed since then, and we put out two records in that sort of country vein, and then we decided we wanted to put out sort of a more pop record. And the band has just changed a lot since then.
And how long has this process been going on for you guys?
5 or 6 years.
And these albums that you're referring to, how many are out there, and sort of where are they?
Two records, one EP. As far as where are they, what do you mean?
Like, where can people get them?
Oh, you can get them at Amoeba or on our website. Milesofmusic.com is where we sell most of our records. They're a great place to find music.
What is that? Like an indie record label?
It's like a roots music shopping mall of CDs, and they have this sort of thing where if you buy a record and you don't like it, a lot of the records, you can just send it back.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty great. Pretty great way to find out about new music in that specific genre of sort of roots music.
Wish you could do that with the radio. Like, if you're listening to the radio and you don't like it, you can somehow...
That would be nice.
Put them out of business.
Or just mute the commercials or something.
Send the commercials back. Why don't we jump into a live song?
Okay.
Describe for us a little bit. You brought some toys with you besides your acoustic guitar. What are we looking at in the studio?
Yeah, I kind of hate playing live solo, so I brought some stuff to keep me interested in it. One of my heroes, Hal Gelb, uses some toys on an affected mic, so... That's what I do when I play by myself, just to make it a little less boring than just some dude with a guitar.
All right, cool, man. What are you going to play first?
It's a song called Spilling the Beans, which I'm hoping we'll make on our new record. We'll see if the band likes it.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest are the Idaho Falls. Stick around.
Dreamt of a shooting star and wished on it anyways. Does it count? Oh, does it count? Billions of bald eagles floating in Alaskan air. They showered us with flowers out of a clear blue sky. I heard they were in trouble. Well, I guess that was a lie. Oh, I guess that was a lie. My dream girl's all dressed up in dirty knuckles. Whiskey and a fig were all I had to give her. This girl's color scheme is army green. And I'm spilling the beans on all my dreams. From up on Gorman's Pass, there's a river of red and white. And it's making Fernando's Valley a magical place to be tonight. Kissing you in the springtime and swimming in the summer. If winter comes without you, it'll be a cold, wet bummer. My dream girl's all dressed up in dirty knuckles. Whiskey and a fig are all I had to give her. But this girl's color scheme, it is army green. And I'm spilling the beans on all my dreams. Yeah, I'm spilling the beans on all of my dreams.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Raymond of the Idaho Falls. You know, if I've learned anything over the past couple of years of doing this show, it's not to think you know something about a genre just based on what you hear on the radio. And, you know, this word country has taken on many different meanings over the years. And nowadays it's kind of associated with this kind of weird kind of pseudo-patriotic, commercial, I don't even know what to call it.
Barbecue stain on my white t-shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's gross.
But, you know, one of the things I've picked up, like, doing this show is I've had a lot of people in here who describe themselves as country or Americana who are just good songwriters. So I was just wondering, from your perspective, like, how do you define country? Because you mentioned that your music has a country edge to it. You clearly have a sort of country style of vocalization. What is it about your music that you think of is country? Because you're in Los Angeles, you know?
Well, I grew up in Idaho. I think country to me means people like John Prine and maybe Graham Parsons, Hank Williams, people from the 60s and 70s that made music and just wrote good songs and just happened to be from a more rural than urban upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe were more in touch with natural things rather than things that might distract you in a city.
Is that the music you sort of grew up listening to?
I'm pretty sure I grew up listening to classic rock because that's what my brothers were listening to. But once I got old enough to decide what kind of music I wanted to listen to, it was that kind of music. Just mostly sincere music. You know, anything that had a lot of sincerity to it, I'd listen to.
Well, along those lines, what are some of the things you like to write about? What are some of the themes you come back to a lot?
I was listening to you ask this question to the Parson Redheads the other day, and I was trying to figure out what I'd say, and I think it was the same thing. Like, just growing up, being someone from the country that is experiencing things in the city, maybe writing about that a little bit, because everything else seems to be pretty overwritten about.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss the most? I mean, because I grew up in the country as well, and there's this, you know, I miss the loud noise of silence, you know?
That's great.
Crickets and bullfrogs.
That's
and,
great.
You know?
I miss the wide open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Here in LA, you can't really spread out. I like to go hiking a lot, but you just can't spread out very much. You know, you can't just sit in a field and play your guitar without hearing a plane go overhead or hearing the electric buzz of the freeways. It's kind of a drag. But I try to get out and hike a lot. And mm-hmm. Lately, I've been getting to tour a lot, which means I get to see the wide open spaces, and that's great.
And I guess also if the city provides you with that frustration, you probably get some inspiration from that as well for
Definitely.
Your songwriting.
Definitely.
So you kind of need it. One of the worst thing to happen to a musician is to be, you know, comfortable and relaxed.
Sure, yeah. You want to have some strife in your life.
Cool. Let's listen to another track from some of the music you brought in for us today. What should we play?
Maybe off that Campfire record. There's a song called Southbound 8 on there. It's pretty fun. It's the kind of combination between sort of a Hank Williams inspired tune and then sort of a little bit of a psychedelic freak out at the end.
And is this your debut or your second album?
That is a combination of our debut record and an EP we put out shortly after.
All right. Tell me one more time. What was the track?
It's called Southbound 8.
Oh, there it is. There's a lot of tracks on this CD.
Well, yeah, it's a full-length and an EP all jammed into one. A lot of value.
You can hear me opening up the CD right now at this very moment.
Would this be a bad time to plug the show on Monday?
No, anytime is a good time to plug your show on Monday. I figure we get back to it again later, too. So, but while we're on the subject, you're playing Spaceland.
Yeah, we're playing Spaceland with the Parson Redheads, a band I really love. And they let me play pedal steel in their band. But
they're finishing up their Spaceland residency
this
Monday, right?
Yeah, this is the last night of it. Yeah, they asked us to play. And we weren't really playing shows, but we put the band together real fast just to play the show with them because we love them so much.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll get back to that again. Let me throw this song on, and we'll come back. My guest, the Idaho Falls. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
The steamy bus has brought together us in the home awaits with a touch.
Back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, hanging out with the Idaho Falls, and I want to talk to you a little bit about performing live. What was sort of for you, the first time you went up on stage with your own music, and what was that experience like for you? Was it something you felt prepared for, or was it nerve-wracking?
Oh, it was at a Bob Dylan festival, and it was Heather and I, and we were just sort of invited to play a few songs of Bob Dylan's. Well, I guess that wasn't my... Well, I guess we played one of our songs. It was nerve-wracking, but everybody loved it so much, and they started dancing. It made me want to do it more.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that a big part of it for you in terms of the live performance, just being able to see an audience reaction? Or are you kind of up in your own world when you're on stage?
I'm pretty much up in my own world.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't really care what people do anymore.
Do you like performing live, or do you prefer the sort of protection of the recording studio? Do you see yourself like as more of a recording artist or a live band?
I don't think you can be one or the other and be successful. I enjoy recording more just because there's more control there, and I have control issues. but live, it's such a more social, engaging thing, and I really enjoy interacting with musicians. And more and more in the recording studio, you're not interacting with musicians. You're interacting with pre-recorded stuff that you're overdubbing.
Right.
So I guess I like both, but if I had my druthers, I'd rather be in the recording studio all day long.
It's true that playing live, I mean, you get to meet some great musicians. I know you've sort of associated yourself with a lot of really great bands in L.A., and you know, a lot of bookers kind of forget that the bands have to also hang out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're getting ready to play.
Yeah.
And you just kind of need to factor that in, like, would they like this band going up before them or after them? You know, are they going to be in a good mood when they get on stage?
Yeah.
So it's that can be kind of a challenge, huh?
It's tough. I think Scott at The Fold does a good job of sort of pairing bands together. But I know what you're talking about. There's definitely a lot of metal band, pop band, country band pairings at venues. And it's just... nobody wants to hang around, so of course you just have one audience come in and the other audience go out, and that's kind of sad.
Well, and sort of like, what's the point of doing a show if you're just going to play to your fans? The idea is that you're going to get new fans.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to glean fans from another band that has nothing to do with your music,
you don't
want to
just be winning over the bartender.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what about, like, how often do you like to play live? Do you like to sort of keep some distance in it so it's easier to promote, or do you like to play as much as you can just so you stay in practice?
Well, when the Idaho Falls was a regularly performing band, we tried not to do it more than once a month, just because it seemed like if we did it more than once a month, not as many people would come out. And if we did it once a month, you know, our friends, like 30 or 40 people would come out, and that's nice to have a monthly gathering of your friends.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's jump into another live song. Cool. What would you like to play?
It's called Maybe Tonight. It's going to be a song off our new record.
Singing with you at the kitchen table, I wonder how you're always able to make me so much better. The song might mean a hill of beans, but the second that we sing together, it's forever. I lose myself when you leave. I stay up late with no relief, and I wonder if my life could be better. Well, I see hawks and you see eagles, and we're just trying to keep it. Stay in one place, you run around like you was being chased by something big and evil. You're on the road 8 days a week, and our love is like a hide and seek. And do you really need to see me? Tomorrow's a brand new start, and waking up is my favorite part, when I know that I'll be ending the day with you. Oh, when I'm with you.
That was awesome. To put it lightly, that was a really cool effect. That was a really good song too. That's from your new album, you say?
Yeah, hopefully.
When can we expect to hear some of that come out?
I brought a couple songs for you now, but we finish it when we finish it. We haven't put a date on it. That's probably why it's taken almost 2 years so far.
Since your last album?
Yeah. After the last album, we just decided that we wanted to do things a little differently than just me or Heather or Greg bringing in a song and the rest of the band just learning how to play it and giving their 2 cents worth. So we just got together and started just playing music, just, I hate to say jamming, but just, you know.
Just sort of seeing what you came up with.
Figuring it out. And we work in a recording studio, so it's a real advantage that we can just put a mic up and say, let's change this song, you know, a million different ways until we're happy with it. And it was a fun experience. We got some great stuff out of it, and it's just taken way too long. And that's a lot of my fault, because I'm on the road with people and playing with people and very distracted, and I feel terrible, but it's just the way it is.
And in terms of the evolution of the Idaho Falls, how has this sort of new way of doing music kind of changed the sound of the band?
It's night and day. When you write a song with a rhythm section, it comes out very differently. And it's not just you sitting there with a piano or a guitar trying to draw inspiration from your life. It's you being inspired by some really incredible musicians that you spend a lot of time just being with. And that influenced it greatly. Like one of the songs I brought you to listen to off the new record is mostly just a rhythm section. It's just drums and bass almost the whole song. And there's very little music going on over it.
I think we should play that.
Okay.
Next.
It's song two on that.
It's your drum and bass song.
It's kind of. It's called Hard Weather, and it's a song that the guitar player in the band, Kevin Fine, and I wrote together. He came up with the music, and I wrote the words, and that's just very typical of the way that this record has been. Cool. And then the drummer and bass player were like hugely instrumental on the making of the song.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest for the Idaho Falls. Stick around.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Idaho Falls. And yeah, I can tell what you, I can hear what you're saying about that, about that song.
Yeah.
So let's jump right into another live song, if you're ready for that.
You got it.
Because I sang it just fresh off tuning the guitar. So
yeah.
Throw these lines up. All right, you're listening. What's the song called?
This song's called My Favorite One.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Idaho Falls.
I was 7 and you were 9. We were at a party, we were having a good time. Into the closet for a little dare. You were holding me close, 'cause I was scared. Sleeping on the floor in your mother's house, trying to dream up another way out. You're just wishing it was summer again, when you were sleeping in the park with. You're my favorite one. I'm glad you came along. Flying alone is never much fun. Pillows and blankets to share with no one. Just once in my life I wish you would be jumping and waving at the gate.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Idaho Falls, and that was awesome. Tell me about your voice, how you sort of learned to sing, and how it's developed over the years as you've sort of grown into it.
I started off not being a very good singer at all, and eventually I just started trying to mimic my favorite singers like Neil Young and Wayne Coyne, and I just sort of found this range right at the top of my range, the kind of girly range,
uh-huh.
That I seem to have more control in, and also the girls like it, so why not?
And then when did guitar come into all this for you?
I've been playing guitar since I was about 16. I'm probably more of a guitar player than I am a singer. Mm-hmm. That's why I always try to have other people singing with me when we're playing live. So as many people as want to learn the song can sing, basically.
And you also produce, you also record other artists? Tell me about that process, sort of like stepping out of the music and sort of, you know, putting someone else's music through your filter. What is that like?
I think a lot of musicians don't really trust people who are just engineers. They want someone that's a musician too, sort of that understands what they're going through. When they're in that studio and the red light comes on and the sweat starts to pour. So I think just being a musician has made me a better producer than some people who are just engineers. I'm sure I'm going to get a punch in the face from an engineer or two for that. I think that's the reason that people like to record with me is because they know that I know what they're going through.
Interesting. Do you choose sort of which, you know, what kind of artists you're going to work with? Are you very particular about that?
Very particular because I have a full-time job and a girlfriend, and I try to put a band
which is together. A full-time job in and of itself.
A full-time job in itself, yes. She's listening. Careful. But yeah, I have to be really careful and selective about it because I really believe that you choose your path with that kind of thing. And if you record just anyone and someone that you weren't really into hits, the people of that genre are going to want you to work with them.
And then you'll be stuck working with something you're not really into, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I really am lucky to have a sort of cadre of musicians and songwriters around me that keep me really darn busy.
Any thoughts on the path that Idaho Falls is going to take in the sense that, you know, it sounds like you've recently gone through some changes in the way you write music.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a sort of a continuing evolution? You see a direction you guys are going into?
I really don't know. This show that we're doing right now, we just threw it together because the Parsons asked real sweetly. So I don't really know. Once we finish the record...
They're sweet people.
They're the sweetest people. You just can't say no to them. And... I don't know what's going to happen. I think we're going to put the record out, and if anything happens with it, I'm sure we'll be more than happy to get together and play shows if people want us to. Or, you know, maybe it'll just be a record. I'm not sure.
And do you have sort of a clear aspiration or sort of an end game for the Idaho Falls, like how far you want to go with it, you know, how you'll know when you've sort of arrived as a musician?
I feel like we've already arrived. We've had a lot of fun playing music together. We've traveled a little bit, and... I think just the times that we've shared together are success. I don't really judge success as how many records have we sold? Have mm-hmm. we made it onto a label? That kind of crap.
On that note of traveling, tell me about playing in L.A. versus playing, you know, in the great blue yonder.
Mm. There's a whole different audience out there outside of L.A. that really stays to see all three bands, even if they... One of them stinks in the middle. And they like talking to you, and they invite you to your house, and... let you hang out in their hot tub and offer a couch here and there. And it's great. I encourage any musicians to get the heck out of LA.
Does that affect the way you play?
Of course. Yeah. If there's people out there that are smiling and tapping their feet, even though I say I'm in my own world, that stuff gets to you, you know? And if someone out there is enjoying it, you're going to play a better show. And just playing to LA audiences is one thing because they're always there. Every place you go to in LA, there's a few people there at least. Mm-hmm. But when you step outside of LA, you really have to prove yourself. You know, when you go to a different city, nobody knows who you are, and it's just winning over people every night.
On that note, let's sign off with another track. Okay. What do you think we
maybe
should play?
Maybe the first song on that CDR that I burned you. It's called "Blood and the Wine." It's another song that we wrote largely as a band.
All right, cool. And when we come back, we'll just remind everybody where they can go check you out this Monday. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Idaho Falls.
Sometimes
you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This show will be available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood later today. Raymond, just remind us one more time where people can go check out the Idaho Falls next.
Spaceland Monday night, the 28th. We'll be on at 10 p.m. and the Parsons are at 11. And then the Monolators are, I think, 12.
And that's a free show, isn't it?
That is a free show.
All right, so go twice. All right, you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.